In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. Podcast time. This week, it's a little bit different. I decided to get a chef on. Martin Adel, aka Le Gourmet Chef, on his social medias. I came across him probably like 6 months ago. Actually, it might have been around Christmas time. Yeah, so about 6 months ago. And one of my friends sent me his TikTok, and I'm not really a TikToker, so I don't really spend much time, and I literally just like binged all of his videos. He's one of the funniest guys, and like also educating about food is just really amazing. So I started following him on Instagram as well, and we just got chatting, and he's a lovely, lovely guy, and really talented chef. So I wanted to get him on the podcast and for you all to listen to us talk. So without further ado, Martin Odell.
Hello mate.
This is random because we've been speaking for like a good few months and I've never actually spoke to you in person.
I know, it's always weird. I'm literally just sitting there like, you know, when you're a parent, well, I suppose you're not a parent, but I'm a parent, and I'm like living my life through your life. I'm just like, I'm there at every gig, just like, I want to be there.
Well, I'm the same with you in the kitchen. I'm like, every time I watch your videos, I'm like, oh, and I'm in an airport or something like that. And I'm like, I wish I could be cooking that right now.
We can switch lives if you want. I mean, I know that's a plug and an aux cable, but that's about it.
That's all we do nowadays, mate, anyway.
USBs. Yeah, that's it.
Professional button pushers. It's ridiculous. How's life, anyway? How's sunny England?
I tell you what, it's actually a beautiful day today. Isn't really it? Beautiful. But I'm in writing recipes, doing the boring admin on a Monday. So, but it's good. It's good. It's weird. I went on Sunday brunch yesterday.
Yeah.
Which was Sunday.
Funny about that.
One of the opening things was saying, how are you? And I was like, yeah, I'm busy. And then I like had to write, like when I was answering a question, I'm like, but I'm busy. You know, when some people say, oh yeah, I'm busy.
Yeah.
And it's just a deflect. I'm like busy. Yeah. I'm like in it. But it's good. It's good. I mean, it's better to be busy than not busy.
So how do you do like admin every Monday? Is that your admin day?
It depends. Like, this is going to sound really wanky, but like I had a cleaner come into my house today. Ooh. So I was like, you know what? I can't be bothered to cook and create chaos while she's here.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to do some admin. But it just depends. Like, I only have Monday to Thursday to do my stuff because Friday I look after my son, and then Saturdays I want to keep us like family time. So it just depends. Like if I've got meetings or calls or whatever, then I'm like, right, cram everything into like one day. But yeah, the last couple of weeks have just been mad because I had that pop up, my party.
Yeah.
How and it was that? Just like, it consumed me. I was just like, it seems quite straightforward. I just need to cook a bit of food, get some people to come in. And then it just became this like this beast that kept growing. And then all of a sudden I was like, wiped me out for a week. And then last week I was still recovering. My party days are behind me, I think.
That's so good. Yeah, I find Monday is a solid admin day. That's when I do all my boring shit. Including podcasts sometimes. Not that this is boring.
That's not boring.
This isn't boring.
Come on.
But yeah, I like to get it over and done with for the rest of the week, and then you can just do the fun shit the rest of the week.
Absolutely. Emails. Well, I'm off to Sweden on Wednesday. Ooh. So I'm like,
what are you doing over there?
My wife's sister lives out there. Oh, so sick. It's like a bit of a visit. Go out there. They've just moved into a new house, so we're just gonna hang out and eat loads of potatoes and prawns and do what you need to do. Yeah.
Are you taking a week off?
Well, this is the thing. Tomorrow is my day. I'm going to have to try and condense like a week's worth of filming into one day. Because I felt really bad. Like I had the pop-up and I didn't film any content. So like, I've been posting every single day since my account started popping off. And then like I was like, it's going to be a bit quiet around the pop-up. And then I like really felt weird not filming anything.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I'm just going to like go at it and like film a load of shit and then, have some stuff banked for when I'm away. But I will have some time off.
You've got it, man. When did your account pop off? Hang on, let's rewind.
Let's rewind.
To anybody listening that doesn't know Martin Odell, aka Legom Chef, on
Better than I can say it. Yeah,
TikTok, Instagram, anywhere else? YouTube. You're on YouTube.
My YouTube has got some following, but there's fuck all on there. I need to. there's one thing that's in the pipeline for the next month. So yeah,
YouTube Shorts. So you are a chef.
Yeah.
And your Instagram reels and TikToks are literally, they feed my life. They literally make me happy every single day. One of my best friends, she works in influencer marketing. She's actually just changed jobs to, do you know Athletic Greens company?
Heard of it.
Yeah, she's just moved to there, but she was working for a company that would manage a lot of like influencer marketing. And she sent me one of your TikToks like a while ago. And I was like, I'm obsessed with this man. I was like, this man needs to be in my life somehow. And
it's
find
so funny. Like my wife works in marketing and she works with Dr. Martens.
Okay,
and
cool.
She goes to these meetings and then like all of a sudden they're like, so the lay of the land at the minute is lots of influencers are going to be taking over from big brand campaigns. And she's like, all of a sudden it's like, there's this guy that's doing stuff with food. And she's like, for fuck's
sake. No way.
But it's like the differentials of it all. Like it's like they can go this way, or you can go like really branded, or you can have like polished content. But there's this idiot that just does carnage.
It's so good, and it's like it just feels so. I think, yeah. So how did it all start with you? Oh, let's get into that, and then we can get this part of it.
Well, I suppose like my channel, like for a start, my content is not short form; it's long form in the wrong context. I've done everything wrong,
but it works
right at the same
time. It works so well.
So I've been doing my Instagram for like 4 years, maybe more, and started off doing pictures and like stats, and all my stuff is about food wasting, like creative cooking.
Yeah.
Like I suppose I wasn't really being true to myself, and I wasn't creating videos because I was just like trying to create a business that made money. And so then I was posting videos, nothing really, like I had a little bit of growth, and then I posted on TikTok all of my stuff, but nothing ever happened. Then last April, I posted a frozen grated ginger video. And I use ginger all the time, and I'd never grated it. I always grated it, but never frozen it. So froze it, grated it. And my reaction was so pure because it blew my mind. It was like grating Parmesan, but like ginger version. And I was just like, I lost my shit. And I was like, So I posted it and I was like, whatever, that's that. And then turned my phone on to TikTok like 3 days later. And I had like the notification at the bottom. It was like 99 plus, videos at like 700k. I was like, hang on, this is wrong. This isn't my account. Like, shut it, open back up again. And then, yeah, it was just like all these people going, this is mental, blah, blah, blah. And then they started commenting, going, have you ever tried this? And they were like, going, have you ever grated like frozen grated chili? And I was like, yeah, but let's do a video on it. And then it just, I just built a series off of that. So
no way.
It just got weird. It got weird very quickly. Like potato went in there. And then it was like salmon, a steak, like stupidly turned into like steak tartare when you grated it on the microplane. It was like instant defrost. And it was like, and it opened up this world. Yeah. And then I suppose from there, it was like, I started getting noticed. Like I went out with my friend and it was like, I was at 60K. I remember I was like, oh, I'm going to hit 100K. Like, yeah. Oh, this is mad. And a guy came up to me and was like, you were that guy. You're the greatest guy. And I was like, oh no. I was like, I don't want to be known for this.
Yeah.
So slowly I started like eking my way away from that stuff and started like, really trying to sort of like blend the world of like flavors and like, how can this actually be like a practical skill?
Yeah.
So I started making like fermented bean paste that I'd freeze into like logs and grate on like salmon. And I was like, this is amazing. But then I started explaining flavors and people were like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's not just an idiot that freezes stuff. He's an actual chef. So then I was like, right, I'm going to do recipes. And then that's where now it's this, okay, we can talk about flavors and different recipes. And I stepped away from that frozen stuff, thank God, because people were still like, when are you going to bring the frozen stuff back?
You'd have to do like one season a year of frozen stuff.
I know. And it's mad. Like the thing with TikTok is like, you hit this wave and it's like, when you're on that wave, if you carry on, like you see people like Thomas Straker, who did it with butter. He did all things butter. Tom Bateman, chef, he's done all things sauce. He's done all things sides now. People buy into it, man. And then that's how your accounts blow. So
yeah, I've never gotten into the whole TikTok thing yet. It's just, I just don't know what my niche is on that platform.
It's so weird. Like it's changed my life. Like I can't deny it. Like over the last, like my account. So I was working at like a TV sort of taste made. It was like food production company.
Yeah.
And when I joined, I was like, what am I going to do for my life? Like my account on Instagram was doing nothing. I was working there as like a full-time job to sort of keep me afloat. And then my TikTok, literally the day I signed, TikTok just went, and I was like, this is weird. And then while I was there for 6 months on my contract, my account went from like, yeah, like I said, 500 people to like 800K.
Wow.
You know, and you're getting like emails from like Canon and like Sainsbury's, all these big jobs. And you're like,
see ya.
Is this real? Yeah. It was perfect timing because my contract didn't get renewed because they didn't need me anymore. It was fair enough. And it was just like, okay, well, make the transition to doing this full time. And yeah, it's been weird, but madly fun.
Did you ever work in a kitchen? Like was that where it all started?
Yeah. So I'd been a chef since I was like 15. Like I'd always worked in restaurants, catering companies, and then worked in Soho for like 6 years as a chef. And then when I was doing my degree in photography, I worked at a cookery school for like 5 years when I was there. So always had this kind of like, the cookery school is very much low key, three course meal, get everyone hammered. It was like a corporate away day kind of like thing. So for us as chefs, you either were like a chef that was really stiff and never got on with anyone, or the bunch we had were like, we had a mate who was a DJ. It was me. There was another guy who was like a semi-pro skateboarder. We was just like a mad bunch. So we just got hammered with them. But it was like the presenting style for us is like, you know, being able to do that chop and chat was like so easy for me.
Totally, yeah.
So then now, like with my channel, it's just, that's where it comes across. Like I can just talk and explain things quite well because, yeah, it's kind of what I did for 5 years. So
yeah, it feels so natural watching your videos. Like none of it feels forced at all.
Yeah.
And that's what I think I love. It's just like, it just... it's just such like a homely videos. They're like, so like, it's like, you can just imagine your mate. This is your mate whilst you're watching it. And it fucking makes me laugh so much, right? Every time I'm like,
but this is the thing that I said, like, everyone's like, oh, like when I go on TV, they're like, oh, you're not the same. Like it seems a bit more polished. And I'm like, the thing is when I do my recipes, like if I'm making a pizza, I know I've got everything in the house, but I don't get it out.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, right, where the fuck is my yeast? You know? And that's where I'm wandering around, like looking for stuff. But when you do like chop and chat on TV, it's like, right, there's your 50 grams of this, there's that, there's this. So you're like,
yeah,
there's no, you know, no chaos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Yeah, and that's the thing with my YouTube. That's what I'm moving into a studio soon because my house is, I've outgrown it, and that's where I want to start my YouTube, and then just sort of like have that as a hub. Because I tried filming some stuff and it was so like presentery. It was just like, right, I'm going to show you how to do this because I've got everything out. And I was just like, oh, it's not me.
That's the thing, is it's got to feel supernatural. During COVID, I did like I've not released it yet, but I did like 11 episodes of a food show myself. And it's so much fun just like filming shit. And but you're right, you have to be like yourself. It can't just be like, we can't all be like Ainsley Harriet and just like...
And people don't want that.
No, like, not nowadays.
No, because that, like, I think that it's weird. I've been talking to like some TV production companies, and it's been this like weird thing of like, there's like the rise of the TV chef that was like your Jamie Olivers, your Gordon Ramsays. They're your household names. And then they were saying, oh, we tried to bring some YouTubers in to sort of like create TV.
Yeah.
But like people just didn't want it.
No.
And it's like, how do you find that happy medium of like social celebrity chef that meets in the middle? And like everyone's like blowing my trumpet going, oh, you're going to be that next person. And I'm just like, well, let's make a TV show and we'll see how shit it is.
But I think that's why I like YouTube in that sense. And I guess TikTok and Instagram is the same, but YouTube, you can have longer form. Like I'm a huge fan of like Joshua Weissman, Sol Hank, like all those kind of dudes that just... Molly Baz, she's great.
Do you I haven't heard of Molly Baz.
Molly's great. She's like a huge food influencer in America. She's got a bunch of cookbooks out, but her like... YouTube, she's only recently just started it, but her YouTube stuff's like really like relaxed and like it's not edited well, and it's, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, it's just not,
but that's the best way, right? The super lo-fi edits is what people like then go, oh, this is just the information that we want. It's nothing to do with, you know, what they're trying to fluff their way through with like beautiful cameras and all of that stuff. Cause that's what happened to me, is when I started filming some stuff, it was all shot on like a beautiful camera, cinematic, like, apertures low. And I was just like, if you want to catch me, like fucking headbutt in the oven. I don't want to like see me like fillet in a fish in slow-mo, you know, with the sizzles and all that. I'm just like,
It's gotta be kind of what people are expecting you. I guess they've sold them you, and you can't go back from that.
Yeah. And this is the exhausting part as well. Like I'm kind of like pretty bubbly and like, I love chatting and stuff. But then sometimes when I'm like, want to shoot a bit of content, I see some people that just film their hands and I'm like, oh, that must be so good. Cause some days like my voice was fucked from all last week because I'm not used to talking in loud environments. And like at the house party, I genuinely talked for like 6 hours nonstop to everyone. And I was noisy and I was like, my voice went, and I was like, I can't film all next week because my voice is gone. Oh, I felt like an actor. I was like, oh God.
Yeah, but people love that. People like, it's so weird what people are into now, but it's like gone from, I guess before social media, like celebrities were kind of put on a pedestal, right? Where you would just like, you would never be able to contact them.
Yeah.
And now anyone can slide into your DMs.
Absolutely. There's been a few.
Mate, I got the worst DM the other day. The worst.
The soup feet one. Yeah. I saw it. I was like, that's brilliant.
Oh, I get some weird shit. I've got one dude that every time like I post pictures of like me like DJing and I'm moving my feet, this dude's like, can I buy your socks off you?
It's such a weird world. There was a girl that I worked with, and she was sending me all of this stuff. She was literally like going, this guy, I put a pair of boots up, and the guy was like, can I buy the socks instead of the boots? And it's like, have you started a sock line yet?
Oh mate, I used to have a sock line. Like, no joke, I did. I used to have a clothing line, and we sold socks, and they're literally the most comfortable socks ever. I'm actually wearing them now.
I'm a big fan of socks, so...
I bought these new slides the other day.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to see them? I can't believe please. I'm admitting this on not live TV.
National TV.
They're so comfortable before you laugh. Okay.
Mate, I want them!
That's so good.
I've got some stupid shoes and my wife's like, why? And I was like, because they're comfy. They're so comfy.
The Billie Eilish ones.
Mate, so good. Although they're an absolute effort to get on, they're on.
They are. Don't go to an airport with them on because they make you take them off. And you're like a spoiled child, like having to like huff and puff taking them on and off. It's such a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
But they look good.
Yeah, but they're good. It was so funny seeing like the fashion clash when I was like, I saw you wearing them. And then I was like, on Goodhood. And I was like, oh, we shop the sale. 60 quid. I was like,
you got that 60 quid?
Yeah.
That's a bargain.
Yeah, I think it was the last size 9, last pair, last size in the outlet, 60 quid.
Oh, I love sneaks. But yeah, these slides are like crack on your feet. It's so good. So
yeah. How do you, what do you take with you when you go traveling though? If you're like,
shoes. I pack really light. I have my gym suit. I get shit for my gym shoes as well. I wear those toe shoes.
The ones that like the Vibram ones.
The Vibrams, yeah.
So
I wear them when I train. And then I just take one pair of shoes that I'm wearing.
And loads of socks to sell.
Bunch of socks. Signed socks. Sweaty signed socks.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, mate. It's crazy. It's crazy. So I want to talk about when you started making money through this and you're like, we're going ham on this. Let's go all in. Like, what was the first time somebody was like, can we pay you?
I'm happy to talk about this. It's like, so when it was such a weird leap, right? So last year when my TikTok was doing nothing, I got a book deal with Oddbox, do Wonky Veg. Yeah. It was like super cool. And I was like, I've worked with them for a bit. And then it was like this first big one. It was like, I think they paid me like 15 grand, like just to write it. And then that was it. Like I didn't get any royalties or anything like this. And, you know, for the work, it wasn't very much money because my life was like full-time work. I'd finish work at like 5, get home, put my son to bed, 8 o'clock, I'd start writing, finish at like 3 a.m. And it was just horrendous.
It's like, a lot
so
of work.
Stressful.
Writing a book.
A lot of work. Yeah. So I was like, oh, it's cool. It's a good jump into that world. And I was like, 15 grand, Jesus Christ. If I look back last year, I was making like nothing.
Yeah.
And then you'd get like the odd jobs. Like if you're making a reel and you have, I don't know, 20, 30K, like maybe like 500-600 quid a reel is like good. And then, you know, you'd get the odd one that was like 1-2K and you'd be like, God, I'm going to be a star. And then, so I had a couple of those. And then the year was just like so stressful doing this book with Oddbox. And then my TikTok started growing as I was finishing the book. Mm. And then all of a sudden, I think my first big paid job was with Jacobs. I did a campaign with Jacobs, which was a fridge campaign. It was all about waste. And it started off this really weird email that was just like, hi, this is such and such from Jacobs or the agency that look after Jacobs. We'd love to work on this campaign with you. We'd love this. And I've got an agent. My agent knew the agency and who was working. So that job went from like a small job of doing like a recipe to then being part of the activation, to then being part of the bigger campaign, to then sort of like being front and center of the campaign. So that went from like, like I said, like 1-2 grand job to like a 15-16 grand job.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, and I was like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, you had to write a couple of recipes, but there wasn't much heavy lifting in terms of from me. So I was like, wow, like from doing a book where you got paid that, which was a lot of work, to then doing 3 days work really for that money. Yeah. I was just like, okay. And then, as things grew, like Christmas was like mental. Like, because I was like, I can't say this, but because I was like top of everyone's radar, like you're saying, in people's agencies around Christmas, they're all like, right, how do we spend this money? So I had like Sainsbury's that came to me, which was hilarious because they had this this like 30-second wrap that was done. And it was like, potatoes, parsnips, stuffing. And it was like all this kind of like weird wrap. And they're like, we want you to do something funny. I was like, can I dress up as Elf? They're like, you do whatever you want. So I was like, yes. And so I just did this mad thing. And that was like a 10 grand job.
Sick.
And then like Ocado. And my agents were amazing because they were like, you can do Ocado now, but you need to post today because then there's a 1 week sort of non-compete. Then you can do Sainsbury's. And then Ocado came back. So it was like back to back.
That's
to back
amazing.
To back. And I think over like November, December, I probably earned more money than I'd earned in like 2 years, that being on a full-time wage.
It's fucking amazing, man. It's
and it
so
was
cool.
So weird. Yeah.
It's so cool then, that you can that you can do that now, right? Just generally, yeah. Like, and realistically, like, anyone can do it. Not anyone, but like,
if no, 100%. I say this to anyone. Yeah. Anyone. Like, TikTok is what, like I said to you earlier, changed my life. If you commit solidly and you go, it's going to be really disheartening for maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, one video could pop off. And then people buy into you or what you're doing, and then you run off the back of that.
Totally.
It's insane.
And also the, like, the social impact you can have. Like, I've watched Joshua Weissman over the years, and, like, I've pretty much followed him for, like, 5-6 years, I think. And you're just, like, you see from going from, like, not, like, 100K followers on Spotify, on YouTube to, like, 7 million, and what that can do for like somebody's life and also other people's lives around them. It's like you start employing people, you start selling books, which is obviously publishers, and then publishers employ people. It's like it's such a thing that we didn't grow up with anything like this. It was like you were either a celebrity that you somehow became a celebrity, or you weren't and you just worked a normal job and paid work 9 to 5 and that's it, really.
But that's it. I never, and this is, I used to work for Joe Wicks, the body coach.
Yeah. What did you do for him?
I used to write his recipes.
No way.
Yeah, twat.
Isn't he really fat now?
I don't know. He was just like, he had the metabolism of like a 2-year-old child. Like he could just eat and train and he'll get hench and fluctuate and whatever. But he used to tell, like, I probably can't say loads of stuff about like how his business grew, but there was someone else, not me, but there was someone else that gave him that, you know, little lift up. And he had a good team around him when I joined. So he had like 60,000 followers. But the thing that he says now, he was just like, just follow your dreams. Just do what you need to do. Yada, yada, yada. And like, I always saw it from the inside and I was like, you prick, like, come on, mate. Like, it's not like that. And now seeing it from where I am and having done the sort of like the really depressing yards, I sort of semi can sit back with him now and go, you know what? We're in a place of privilege to say, just keep going. Totally. Like something may happen. And it doesn't happen to everyone, but it could. And that's that little dangle of hope that you need to sort of sit on going, if you keep just chugging away, something may click. And for him, it was like right place, right time, right everything. And it's similar to me, like TikTok started pushing plus 1 minute videos.
Yeah.
So that's why my videos were like 7 minute episodes that shouldn't work. TikTok was like, cool.
Here we
like,
go.
We'll push that. Yeah, we'll want people to stay on the platform. And they had, so they had three pillars, which I never remember, but it was entertain and educate and something else. But mine were doing all three of them at the same time.
Comedy.
I didn't even know. Yeah. And it was just like, boom, 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 boom. And it was like, great. Everyone was there. It was doing a good thing. And it was just, the account just went. So
it's amazing. It's the same in music, to be fair. It's like, it's just luck, a lot of it to start with.
Yeah.
But you also have to be like, that's also by saying luck, it's like that diminishes all your hard work. And you do have to work fucking hard and you have to put the time and effort into that, because otherwise I don't know anybody that's just put one video up and it's just blown up and then this game on. People have to put hundreds up, thousands up until it eventually happens. And the people that
go on,
and you see people like that, like I agree with what you're saying, the whole follow your dreams. And I was watching some like inspirational talk from like Gary Vee last night on my reels, and I'm like, the thing is, it's so easy to kind of sit back and be like, yeah, well, it's easy for you to say, right? Because you're at that point where you have a career. And like, I get it. It's like easy for me to say in music. It's like, I have a career in music. But people don't see the like graft behind the scenes that actually goes on and how long it actually takes to get there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you... like if you saw me, like I said, like in the darkest points of like going, I was saying to my wife, like, I don't understand what I need to do different. On Instagram, I was doing everything that we're being told, do sub-minute 60 videos.
Yeah.
You know, there were still me. I was just like doing everything. I was posting every day. I was using the hashtags. I was using trending music. I was doing nothing. And then I had friends that were doing the same and were blowing up. And I was like, this makes no sense. And yeah, it's so demoralizing because it's not that I wanted to be famous. It's not that I wanted to have hundreds of thousands of followers. It's the fact that I wanted to make a living off of what I was doing. Totally. And I could see how people were making a living. I was just like, why can't I get to that point? And the fickle thing with social media is you need a following. If you don't have a following, then people don't care. You could be the best chef, the funniest person, whatever. But at the end of the day, social media is about numbers. And if you don't hit those numbers, then that's it. And what I was going to say is, like, on TikTok, is people chase that like viral, that tangible viral thing, and they do it for all the wrong reasons, right? So you get people that do these, like, and this is coming from me because I was doing it. You were looking at like the trending audios and the trending things, and you see it with every single social media company where their like intern is taking over the channel, and they do these like videos that they want to go viral, but that doesn't make people want to follow you. Yeah. Your video could get 20 million views, and you see on so many accounts of people that have done something stupid, 20 million views, then all of their other views are like 100, 200, whatever, and they've got like 20,000 followers.
Yeah.
It's like you need to retain people, and it's like, you know, if people are buying into you, then that's why they'll stay. But if they're buying in because you did a really funny version of a skit, it's like, you know.
You're right. I was talking to one of my friends last night. She's a TikToker, kind of. More in the like raunchy lifestyle of TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
but no, she's an OnlyFans girl, and she has a management company, and she was talking about how a management company literally just be like, oh, copy this girl, copy that girl, copy this girl. And she was like, it's just demoralizing. Like I'm not doing anything I want to do, and the videos aren't performing well anyway. So I'm like, well, of course they're not, because it's not you, and you're not being you. And the videos that have done well is you being you. And I think like that's the thing, is when you get management involved or agents or anything that kind of start telling you what to do, you pretty much might as well go work a 9-to-5 job, because you're doing exactly the same. Somebody else is your boss and telling you what to do, when you've got to remember you're the person that created the account. You're the person that actually put the graft in, and then they just came in and take 20%. And trying to tell you what to do. It's fucking weird. It's really weird.
It's so mad. It's so mad. And I think it's like, you know, I've got friends that have got million on TikTok, million on, or 2 million on TikTok, million on Instagram, like 700, 800K on YouTube. And they're not making money just due to the fact that what their content is so, I'd say this in the nicest way, but there's no personality to any of it.
Yeah.
It's beautifully shot. It's cinematic. It's lovely. And people follow it for that reason. But I think the reason that my account has made me a lot of money is because brands, because I can plug into any, any brand, you know, like I did a video for Sony. You're a music man. Sony.
I think it's Sony.
Yeah, let's go Sony. So it was the release of Matilda the Musical, and it was Bruce's Bog Chocolate Cake, right? So they wanted something that was funny and someone that could cook. I was like, hello. And
then
Korn, and Korn were like, I don't know if you saw the one that was the balls one. They were like, how many ball puns could you get into a video?
I didn't see this one. Is it on Instagram?
Yeah. So it was like Swedish meatballs. They released the Swedish meatballs, and they were like, how many times can you get a ball pun into the video with it feeling natural? So I was like, perfect, you know. And it's because I don't say this as I said in the nicest way, it's because I'm not stiff. It's not because I've got an ego about me. I'm just like, I'll do anything that fits within this, you know, like Canon campaigns, because they wanted someone talking about sustainability, no comedy involved. But then there's like all of these spheres that you can fall into, where it's like, if you bucket yourself into creating hand shot beautiful content, yes, you may get millions of followers and millions of views, but like, what are the brand partnerships that you can get from that? That's what I agree.
I think also the on YouTube, I think it's slightly different on YouTube, where you can do the ASMR kind of video shots where it's just you, and like, you know, because you can earn really good money from like just general AdSense there. And also like a lot more YouTube is like brought to you by Squarespace or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but I think on the actual, the social media platforms, which I don't think YouTube really is a social media platform. I think it's more of a video platform. But with TikTok, Instagram, Twitter even, it's like people want you.
Yeah.
And it has to just work. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it is mad. And this is the thing where, like, you know, which goes back to like my content length being completely wrong, is that I can create content that like really portrays me in like 3-4 minutes because I want to explain parts of a dish and I don't want to just cut it down to 60 seconds. Yeah. So I miss out on that algorithm of YouTube on the shorts because it has to be 60 seconds. And then my content doesn't really transfer over onto Instagram because people just don't watch it as they do on TikTok.
Mm.
So I'm kind of like in this middle ground of like, my TikTok's cool, my Instagram's sort of like doing stuff, but not a lot. My YouTube, I can't really grow because of the shorts I'm not posting.
Yeah.
And I haven't got onto that long form style yet. So it's this weird like merge. And I posted a short clip the other day and people were like, nah, take us back. We want the longer form content. And I'm like, I'm just trying to grow. And I'm like, okay, I got to please the people, but then my account's not growing. So
yeah, you know, it's tough, isn't it? Because it's like, I've always, it's a really weird thing that we all work in, is that we want more and more and more. But it's also like, somebody said to me years ago, which really stuck with me, is like, what would you prefer, 10,000 fans that buy tickets to your shows or 1 million fans and none of them buy tickets to your shows? 1 million followers. And it's like, okay, you can do damage with 10,000 people. Like, you can genuinely do really well with 10,000 people. Don't get me wrong, I'd love 1 million people that will buy your tickets. We can't always have that, if you know what I mean. But do you edit all your videos yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, I do it all on my phone.
Do you?
I'm like the mobile influencer.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So Splice is an app. I'm sponsored by Splice, I wish. It's like a free app and it's mad. You know, it's like every other app, but I just find it easier to use.
Yeah.
Because I shoot maybe, like the worst thing is going through my phone.
Yeah.
Because as I said, on some days I shoot like 6 recipes, but I'll shoot them not like linear. So I'd like start something like pork belly. I'll put that in the oven. I'll start another recipe because I just have this corridor of carnage. Like, keep that clear. To the left and to the right of me is just like pots boiling, stuff going on. So I can have like a couple of recipes going on. So when I'm like selecting the clips, I'm like, is that
pork belly?
Was that pork belly or was that like the vegan dish that I was talking about? But yeah, everything's on my phone. Like, I've started to have to do some stuff on my laptop because when I do stuff for brands, sometimes I've edited on my phone and they're like, can you just change that bit and do that bit? And I'm like, oh, fuck.
No, I can't. Splice, like,
So yeah, I've started like going over onto my laptop now because it's just like, to keep control of things is just a bit easier. But this is another one of these things. Like, just start making content. You could do anything on
your phone. Totally. Have you thought about getting another phone and just switching it to YouTube style?
Yeah, and this is why I'm getting my studio, because my kitchen is like, although it's a lovely long open plan kitchen, the counter surface I think is like for tiny people, because I put my phone there like wedged up and that's the widest I can get it.
Yeah,
so like whenever people were like, oh yeah, just flip the phone and do it, I was like, it won't fit, honestly. You would see nothing. You'd see my head and my torso like that. So getting a studio, like, I just found one and it's just, I'm just gonna kit it out with like a fake kitchen.
Yeah,
and then just, yeah, you have to come and cook. Just,
mate, gonna,
I want to have a channel where it's like, the idea is to obviously teach people, like, understand why dishes work. So the whole thing is like, you know, we'll make a pesto pasta or whatever, but then you break down each element and be like, look, this is fucking, and then have a space that's more relaxed instead of it being studio.
Yeah.
It's going to be like just a creative space. So
that's cool, man. Yeah. I love that. It's,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's so weird how your life can change.
Yeah. And I think I'm on like this really weird sort of like tipping point. I was going to say earlier when you were talking about followers is like, I always remember this call I had with my agent, and I had 17,000 followers on Instagram, and I'd blagged an agent from when I had 3,000 followers. I said to them, I was like, I'm onto something. I was like, there's no one talking about food waste in a fun, creative way. I was like, and I emailed, like genuinely emailed about 50 agencies, like going, please, I need some help to grow. Yeah. I was like, as soon as I had an agent, I was like, that's it, feet up, come on, get the work in. Nothing, like absolute shit.
Crickets.
Because it's like, you know, it's about you, isn't it? And it's like, if you're not doing your end of the bargain, they can't, you know, put you out and people won't buy into you. So I had this call with them and they said, I had 17,000 on Instagram, and they were like, you're in this weird cusp of like, you're no longer a nobody.
Yeah.
You're becoming someone, but you're not enough to start charging the big bucks.
Yeah.
When you go over to like 50K, you can start going like grand, 2 grand a video. But when you go into like 300-400, it's more like, okay, you're talking good money now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like sitting there going, well, how the hell do I like transfer over into this other realm of making money? And now I had a conversation with him and I was stuck in this limbo now of like a good limbo of being like, right, you got 1 million on TikTok, which brands are like, we won't do like one-off pieces of content with you anymore because you're too big for that. You're too expensive for like just a flash in the pan
totally.
Content.
Yeah.
So it's like, your work grows. And you're like at this point of going like, it's the bigger brand campaigns that you're now part of.
Yeah.
So that's where it's scary for me because my year has been paid for quite comfortably, but I want to get my YouTube running to have that like residual income coming from like ad spend, like we said.
Totally.
But it's a bit weird.
Do you invest back in?
Yeah. So I set my company up as like, Legom Chef or Legom Fit Limited is like me, and then I've got me as like a separate entity, so I like pay myself, but then all the money that's in the company is going to be just like flooded into studio and YouTube and all of that kind of stuff. And it's weird going like, I need to think of someone helping me, like maybe just on like the edit side of things, but I think I need a bit of management more so than, well, an agent's fantastic because they're getting me the work and doing all of that, but someone to sort of like spec me out and go like, okay, this is where you need to focus, this is what you need to do. So yeah, that's next steps. But
well, I think also it's like having somebody that can do the shit that takes up your time.
Yeah,
that's the thing for me, is like, what I took on an editor for the podcast, and don't get me wrong, the podcast is nowhere near what like getting what you're getting view wise but it's like, I took on an editor for the podcast and it just was an absolute game changer for me, where I literally just sit down, record, and then I don't have to do anything else. And it's the nicest thing because it allows you to be creative outside of the editing side of things. And like, imagine you didn't have to edit.
I know. And I think it's such a fucking weird thing to think, because I enjoy it. And
yeah.
The thing that I struggled with when I worked with another videographer is like capturing the bits that that make me.
Yeah, yeah.
And like almost my editing style is so shit, but it keeps me.
Yeah.
And I think I remember recording some stuff for an academy. Like when I first set up my business, I was like, I'm going to set up this academy. I'm going to teach people how to cook. And I gave them all the footage and they just cut out all of like the good bits, like of me explaining stuff. I was like, no, we need to keep that in.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, it'll be too long. And I was like, no, that's the gold, you know? Yeah. So I suppose it's finding someone that like understands me or understands food. And it's not just a case of like cutting up, you know, cool
shit.
Clips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I guess that's it, isn't it, as well? It's having somebody that is like pretty much with you 24/7 that gets your personality.
Yeah.
And is like probably in the studio with you, like you're having a laugh together and then you kind of get it. It takes time for somebody to get that though. It takes ages.
And I think for me, like, I started working with a videographer and he was like £500 a day.
It's expensive.
Like, for his kit. Yeah, if it, I get it because I did photography and I understand you need to pay them for their kit and stuff like that. And then I was like, okay, like the first day we filmed like 12 shorts and I was like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And then we did a YouTube and it was a bit sort of like a bit hit and miss because it wasn't really a good style. And that was just like, you know, it just felt like you were pouring money away at a point because you didn't have that instant like, yeah, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
We're both comfortable together. So yeah, it's tough.
Unless you took somebody on like as a wage, like part-time, as like a salary and you kind of like, it kind of makes it a little bit more affordable, but also you've got them all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. I think it's like,
it's expensive, but it's an investment.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where it's like this weird, this weird world that I, like I said, I don't understand social media. Yes, I've got a big following, but I'm a chef. I'm a chef. I'm a dad. I'm an idiot. And to understand everything and now taking this step into like, oh, you actually are making, like my agent was like, you need to start talking to a financial advisor. You need to start having an accountant. Yeah. I was just like, I just wanted to create stupid videos and make a bit of money. And now it's become like a bit more serious. It's all of a sudden like, there's a lot of money sitting there doing things, but is it working for me? Totally. I was like, I don't know. Like it's spooky. And I think there needs to become a point where like now I'm getting this studio. I'm like, okay, well, that's an expense. So I'm going to go on holiday. That's an expense because I'm shooting some food content.
The tax man hates us.
Yeah, he
really
does.
The tax man hates us self-employed people.
Yeah,
it's a really weird transition phase when you're at that point. Because I think for me, it's like I'm kind of at that in my career as well at this moment in time where it's like I have a great career, but it's also, and it pays reasonably well. Like if you sat down and somebody looked at the numbers, they'd be like, Will, you're doing well. But then if you sat down and looked at like all the hours that everybody else is getting paid from what you're earning. And then you're like, fuck, you're like at that tipping point where it's like, you need to get to here. But to get to this section, you either need a really fucking big record or you need to invest back into it, into something.
Yeah.
And you don't know what is going to be. You don't know if it's going to work. And you don't know, like, you might start the studio and it might not fucking do anything. And you never know. I'm sure it will. Like, I hope it will. And you will work as hard as you possibly can. But you never know. So it's like, it's really scary work, like, investing in yourself. When you'd never expected any of this to happen in the first place.
I know. Because especially, like I said, like, honestly, when I look back at, like, the year before, like, you know, lockdown was strangely, weirdly fun in an odd way because we had our baby. He was, like, 6 months old. Went into lockdown. We moved into a new house. You know, my wife was getting no money from maternity. So I took, like, a 50 grand loan from the government.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, how much money are you going to earn? I was like, I had, like, I hope they're not listening to this, but I had, like, 500 quid in my bank account. What's your predicted earnings? Clearly 250 grand.
Mate, we all did the same.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, yeah, lovely. Okay. So then, you know, we had this sort of, like, I kept a lot of that money, but we sort of, like, lived off of it through the company and it was nice. But then as the world reopened, I hadn't built a social, I hadn't built anything that was a company that was doing something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, like waking up every day going like, okay, there's 20 grand in my bank account.
Yeah.
But this bounce back loan is coming back every month. There is nothing coming in. And as that slowly dwindled, I got down to like 3.5 grand. I know 20 grand sounds a lot, but it wasn't my money.
Yeah.
Like 3 grand in my bank account going like, what am I gonna do? Like, it was bleak. And then I was just like, got one job, and then the Oddbox cookbook came in. I was like, oh, okay, this has settled the ship. Like, just how do I get another book deal? And then thank fuck for TikTok. I tell you what,
saved your ass. It's an amazing feeling though. When did all the whole waste food kind of come into play?
So as a chef, you always think of, like, you never really thought of waste because you'd always use it. Like, you'd always be like, okay, these potatoes are going off, should we turn them into staff dinner? Yeah. Or, you know, we've got all this veg. I know it looks shit, but should we just chuck it in a stock? Like, you know, there was very simple fixes when you're working in a big commercial kitchen. I finished working at Joe Wicks, and then my wife moved to Switzerland and she was working for Vans.
Yeah.
So I was like, can I come? Like, we'd only just started going out. And she was like, yeah, sure. I don't know if you'd be able to get a visa. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I'll just come for a bit.
Yeah.
Stayed there for 2 years, like doing the illegal, like bounce back to Italy, to come back after 30 days. Like, it was really weird. And we had friends that worked in like snowboard resorts and stuff. And for me to have a connect to something so big as climate change, I needed something that was like tangible to me. And that was friends saying to me that their businesses were struggling because the shift in seasons was like really bleak. So like over Christmas, like there was no snow. So like people weren't flooding the resorts like they used to. So therefore his business suffered. And this was a direct impact of climate change. So when I was like, climate change, like literally Googled climate change and food, and it was like food waste, boom, like front and center. I was like, no way. And then when you start looking into all of the numbers, it's genuinely baffling that all of this food waste is produced, and most of it from UK homes. So I was like, what can I do? And I was like, well, I can educate, I can cook, I can talk. And it all became this thing. And, you know, the topic around food waste is so, like in the nicest way, like middle class, upper tier. Like whenever people talk about, they're like, oh yeah, I'm an eco chef. I'm a warrior of waste and all this. And you're just like, fucking hell. The people that could genuinely make a difference are the people you're not communicating to because your language is so lofty. So I started off by throwing all the stats out there. Like, did you know there's this? Did you know there's that? People don't give a shit.
No.
If you teach people how to cook and enjoy food, the offshoot is they eat food, therefore create no waste, therefore save the planet.
Yeah.
It's a simple solution. Mm. But for me to try and get that across, I was struggling, like, because I was hitting the message of food waste front and center. But yeah, so it was probably like 5 years ago when I was like, I wanted to set my own business up and do something about it. Mm. But yeah, I've just flipped messaging on its head and gone, cook decent food, eat food, solve the planet.
Makes sense. So it makes so much sense. And I guess, like, I don't want to compare you to Jamie Oliver because it's very different. But I think that's when, you remember when Jamie Oliver got big in the UK.
Yeah.
And it was more so just about the general Joe public cooking good food. It wasn't about anything bougie. It was just literally like, get your mates together, put a bunch of shit together in the pan and cook great food and all have a laugh. And it's similar to what you're doing to a certain extent, just on a different platform and in a different way and in a way funnier way and less produced way. It's like, make great food, don't waste shit.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so funny, like you look at the food waste scene as such, and every chef or every person that is, this is their front and center focus. It's a lot of like solutions to how to use carrot tops, how to use beetroot leaves. I'm a chef. I care about the planet. I walk into a supermarket and I buy carrots that have no fucking frongs because it's a hassle.
Yeah.
You're giving people a solution to something that they don't need a solution to.
Totally.
They're like going, I've got loads of carrots. What do I do with them? You know, they're not going, oh, I've got some carrot frongs. is this going to solve the planet? It's like, and I was doing this stuff and I did this whole thing with Love Food, Hate Waste. I think it was even last year and it was like $5,000 for 5 videos. And I was like, how to use the whole carrot. And I was like, yeah, we can do carrot top pesto and, you know, we could do beetroot leaf burrag and all of this stuff. And I watch it now and I'm like, you wanker, you fucking idiot. Like, you just instantly, like, you're following or your people you can talk to goes from like this, like everyone into carrots to this.
Yeah.
Like, man, you know, like I said, I love food, but I never cook carrot tops. I never would make all these things.
No.
And I look back, I'm like, you pillock. You absolute pillock.
So good. So what's the message now? What are you going into to kind of keep that going?
Eat the food you buy, save the planet. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And it for me, like you see it from my videos, it's like this getting people pumped about food, getting people excited about food and not just like making, you know, something. It's like making that connector, like how do we make food taste delicious?
Yeah.
You know, like the real basics of like talking about acidity and salt and spiciness and bitterness. Once people understand that, their home cooking will go from like naff to good to like brilliance, you know, and it's so simple. The tomato sauce one I did was just like, I just said, like, take tomato. Are you commenting on it? Yep, taste that. It'll taste like shit. Well done, Mark, you know. It's because food is like, the tomato sauce was like tomatoes, onions and garlic and water. And I was like, taste that. Absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
Terrible. Put a bit of salt in, things start happening. Put a bit of vinegar in, things start happening. Put a bit of sugar in. You've got this thing that is now like beautiful, but start balancing it out, a bit more vinegar, you know. And it, people were just like, thank you so much. Like, and I was just like, it's okay. This is what it's about. Like, chefs don't talk about it. They talk about it, but in a very sort of lofty way. Like I say, like, I'm going to put this nasturtium leaf on there because it's got this lovely acidity. But what the fuck does that do to a dish?
Yeah.
Like, no one tells you until you start telling people that does that. That does, and then they start going, oh.
Well, I think that's the thing. There's no education in it. There's no, like, why when you add salt, it does this? And like, why when you add sugar, it does this? Or why when you add acid, it does this? And I think that's the thing. It's like, unless you're really into food, you're not researching this. You're not working out how to do this. I was talking to a chef mate the other day, and they were talking about how there's like, in like the super high-end restaurants, and this was super new to me. It's probably very normal to you. But in like these sauces that, like, what, or all dishes, what they would do is they would take the dish so far to the salt, like with so much salt, and then just dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're like, no, this is way too salty. And then it gets to the point where this is perfect.
Yeah.
And it's like, at home, you don't think of that. You don't think of like, okay, let's just add a bunch. Like, I just add a bit of salt. It's what you're supposed to do.
But I think that this will tune into you, because when I used to work at the cookery school, I was there for 5 years, and I'd talk to people, and they'd be like, why are you so good at chopping? You know, how can you taste that? I was like, it's my fucking job.
Yeah.
I was like, if they were all doing spreadsheets for like big banks, I was like, you'd ask me to like do a simple calculation on Excel, I would fail.
Yeah.
But for you, it's second nature. And like for you with music, it's just like, you would hear that, like, it needs a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what is that fucking, you know? And it's just second nature to you.
Yeah,
and like, people need to understand that it's like, it's been my job for 20 years to eat things and understand it. Like, it doesn't just happen overnight. And I think that's where like people buy cookbooks and think, oh yeah, I'm going to cook like Ottolenghi. It will taste delicious. But to you, there may be a subtle tweak which will make it even more delicious. And that's where, you know, from cooking and eating, and get a lot of messages from chefs that, like, new chefs that are I'm going into a restaurant, I'm really scared. What do I do? Just fucking eat.
Yeah.
I was like, go to the chef, take a spoon. Can I try this sauce? It'll be like, it's not finished. Can I try it? I want to understand where things are going. It's what you got to do. And people think I'm weird for like necking vinegar, but I'm like, if it says to put vinegar in, you don't know if that vinegar is like super acidic, if it's sweet, if it's almost like a molasses, you know, there's all of these little things that you're just adding it because the recipe tells you. But if you don't understand it, then you know what you can do.
How is your stomach every day?
Yeah, bad. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The ulcers are real.
Yeah, yeah. God, I tried the miracle berry. You tried the miracle berry?
What's that?
So it's a natural berry, but they sell it to you in like tablet form that's like compressed with some kind of like baking agent. Mm. But if you eat it, and it knocks out all of your sour receptors. So you could like eat a lemon and it will taste like lemon meringue. You can eat or drink Guinness and it tastes like chocolate.
Genuinely,
like, blows my mind. And I did it once, and I like ate a whole lemon just there on the video, just like gnawing on it, going, it's delicious. And then the next day I was like, oh God, my teeth. And I couldn't taste anything for like, it was like a day. I was sitting there going, like, I think I've destroyed something in my body. But
crazy.
Miracle berry.
I've never heard of that. I ate something on Saturday and my stomach is still not right. And I don't know what the fuck I ate, but it's not in a good place right now. It's not good at all. No, when you
Was it spicy or was it like something?
I just had pizza. Like, pizza and
gluten, darling. Mr. Gluten.
Pizza and a milkshake.
lactose intolerant gluten.
Literally, just both of them fucked me.
Yeah.
But it's...
We went to... There's a restaurant in London called Kiln. Mm. It's like spicy Thai food. And I'm not good with spice. I don't mind it, but I'm not brilliant with it. And me and my old chef who used to work with, whenever he comes to London, I'm like, let's go out and like... We'll do it properly, you know. Yeah. So we went in there. I was like, can we just order the menu, like the whole menu? And they were like, yeah, sure. We haven't got this, 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 or this. And I was like, cool, whatever. And then the girls next to us started ordering. And they were like, what's the hottest one? Because we're not very good with heat. And they were like, the monkfish dish is like 9 out of 10. I was like, cool. Me and my mate sitting there drinking cocktails, chatting, catching up. Food comes down, didn't listen. It's like, God, oh, that is really lovely. He was like, what's this? He was like, that's the monkfish. And I was like, ah. So for the rest of the meal, I was like, oh, sweating, mouth numb. It was Thai hot, like really hot.
I love that.
Like a korma man. So
are
I'm
you a
like...
korma? Oh, no.
Yeah, it got me.
Put the toilet roll in the fridge for the next day.
Absolutely. But it was a good
killer.
Day.
It's killer. How's this all kind of affected the family?
Well, this is like a two-pronged attack. I was like, I always remember having this, so my birthday was in November, and had this, like, me and my wife never really go out together because of the kids, and we don't really have a babysitter. And we went to this lovely place called Birch. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like a hotel, kind of like Shoreditch House vibes.
Okay.
And it's kind of just outside of London. We went there, and it was like a weekend away, and we got absolutely hammered, had like a tasting meal and everything. And we were sitting at the bar, guzzling Negronis, and I can drink. My missus doesn't, she can drink, but she tries to keep up with me and it doesn't work out well. But we were sitting there, and this is like a bit deep. I remember talking to her and I said to her, I was like, she was like, oh, what's the future holding? And I was just like, well, you know, we're solid. And I said to her, I said, look, I'm giving, my life is split up to like 80% of TikTok, 10% you and Noah, my son. And then the other 10% is like occupied with work. And she looked at me like and got upset. And I said to her, I said, look, you're my rock. You're always here. You're I don't need to think about you in the nicest way because we love each other. Everything's solid.
Yeah.
I said, but my head is completely in TikTok because I know this can change our life. And I said, I genuinely think this was November when my account was like just peaking. I said, this will genuinely change our life. And I know that you're here. So in that aspect, it was like pretty like a full on conversation.
It's pretty deep.
You know, yeah, we're both there like crying and hugging each other at the cocktail bar. Like, I was like, but I love you. I was like, yeah, listen, you'll never go. You're always here. And then like fast forward like 4 months down the line. And I'm like at a point where I'm going like, come on, ditch your fucking job. We both go all in on this.
Yeah.
And she's in marketing and we've always wanted to create this like, there's a place, look at Google it, called Outside Devon. They have like a skate bowl. They do like surfboard shaping workshop, pottery classes, bakery. I said, I want to have a place that's like a hub of like fucking cool creativity where people can come, record podcasts, do masterclasses, all of this.
Love that.
I want to do it together. Yeah. I want to like, and she's in and she's like at the point where I was like 6 months ago, scared, you know, like, can we do this? And I was just like, right, let's see how this year goes. And I'll bust my gut to get YouTube up and running, have that like as a residual or like a back burner income. Yeah. And then we'll see what comes of it. But family wise, I mean, we're so solid, you know, it's wicked. Do everything together. But trying to sort of like get something off the ground and like balancing things has been a bit intense.
Well, it's a hustle, isn't it? But I guess the amazing thing is by filming in your kitchen, you're always home.
Yeah.
Right. And you can always be there if you need to be. And I think that can also be the, like in my industry, like we're never home. Never home.
Yeah.
Never anywhere. The fact that I'm in my place in America right now and like I'll be here till Monday next week. And then Tuesday I come back to England. And even when I'm in England, I'm not home. I'm in the studio writing. I'm kind of not anywhere. So it's like it's pretty amazing that like you can do everything from your home and you can still have your family around you and it's pretty dope.
Well, that's the thing. I've still kept, I used to look after my son 3 days a week before he was going into nursery. And, or even when he went into nursery, you put him in for 2 days and I'd have him for 3 days just because like I wanted to have that time with him.
Totally.
And, you know, it was like such a weird time post COVID that it was kind of like up in the air kind of thing. And then yeah, I was almost at the point of going, like, should I just be a full-time dad? Because the cost of childcare is like absolutely disgusting. Like, I know they have to make their money, but it's so bad. Like, it's almost like £1,500 a month for like a kid to go in nursery.
Especially in London.
Yeah. So I was like, is there any point in me like working? Like, is there any point in me taking a full-time job, or do we just take him out? But you need that headspace away from children. Otherwise, you just, not that you become a bad parent, but I've seen it with friends that you just end up being like, oh, just put me in front of the TV. Yeah. And like, they need it. They need it so much. So I still keep, like I said, I have my Fridays with him still, like me and him, like lads time.
That's epic.
And then weekend is like family time. So yeah, if I need to shoot any extra content, I say to my wife, like, oh, can I have a couple of hours on a Saturday? And she's like, yeah. So that kind of like is the balance now, which is kind of cool. But yeah, try and get everything done on Monday to Thursday so we can have good proper family time.
It's interesting because you don't often get balance when careers go crazy.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of my friends, there's no balance at all. Like, I've got a friend who's opened a restaurant in Portland. And like, yeah, there's no balance.
No. And that's the thing with like restaurant life is chaos though. Like, you have to work when people want to party.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
And before.
Same with you.
And before.
Yeah.
It's like you have to prep. You've got prep, you've got recipes, you've got marketing, you've got everything. Would you ever do a restaurant?
I think I'd rather have this idea, which was like more of like a 9 to 5 and then events on the evenings.
Yeah.
Just because I just know how much it takes out of you. And there's never that point of going like, oh, the other chef's going to take control tonight. Always something will go wrong. Always. I've been a head chef before and you're like, oh, I'm just going to have the night off. And you're like 4 pints deep. And then all of a sudden they're like, the pot wash didn't turn up. What do you want to do? I was like, use your fucking common sense and get someone else in. What are you calling me for? So there's never that disconnect. No. And it's, I think when it's your own business, you care so much more. Like, you're willing to graft. But when it's not, you're just like,
fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you, with this like idea that you have, is there like a timeline on that?
Well, I think I want to test out the studio that I'm getting now and sort of just see if like one, like financially pumping that money into it, if things will grow, is kind of a good stepping stone to like take on the next thing. But I'd love to get it in within the next year or 2 years, like get things actually happening. Cause I've been talking to the people at Crowdfunder and they have these really amazing sort of like initiatives where like, if it's something that's good for the planet or has like a positive impact on a sort of a community, then bigger companies like, I can't remember, like BA or whatever, they put like pools of money in. So I could say, I need to raise, you know, 100 grand or 300 grand. I would technically need to raise like 30 grand and then all these other companies would pump money in to hit a target. But for me, as I said from the beginning, I'm a chef. I haven't got a business brain. I've got such a creative mind. I'm going like, I want to do this. Yeah, that'd be amazing. And it's just like, financially it doesn't work. Mark, you just want to have a party consistently. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I want to make my life one big party.
Yeah.
But financially it just doesn't work. So need that level-headed business brain to come in and help at some point.
It can definitely work though. I have this thing in my mind where I want to buy like an old farmhouse and build it into studios, but also have like a sustainable like small holding with like a butchery.
Check out Outside Devon. We need to meet in real life.
Let's do it
over some beer and some food and just chat shit because. Yeah, mate. That's
the thing, isn't it? It's like, it's also for me, it's like, also, how do you set your life up where like almost you don't have to worry, right? You don't have to worry about that financial burden over your head. And like, I was speaking to my mum a couple of weeks ago, and like, I've seen them. Like, we grew up with fuck all, and then they've become extremely successful in their business. And like, she's 60 now, and I was like, Mum, when did you stop worrying about money? And she was like, last year. I'm like, fuck, we are in for a roller coaster. Because I think that's, I don't know about you, but is the financial burden of, is that a stress for you?
I'm in no false pretense that like the money I'm earning now is going to carry on.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's like, you know, there are so many ways of making money if you know how to do it properly, that it's just a case of like tapping into those and just having lots of these like little pockets of money just like bubbling away. Because like I said, like there's people that got like YouTube revenue, and then they've got like, you know, Twitch. I've been speaking to Twitch, and they, you know, the money you can make on those things. I was talking to people on, so I started doing TikTok shop a little bit, and that was that the sold the golden ticket with them, really. But the food scene wasn't built out to what it could be. So it wasn't there. But some of the creators that are doing makeup and stuff are earning 60-70k a month.
Really?
You know,
wow.
It's just bonkers. And if, you know, and I think when you sort of like get into that realm, it's like, yeah. But I don't even know. Similar to you, like my mum was a dentist and she had her own practice and she had always made good money, but was very good with money.
Yeah.
So we grew up like with money, but not like minted money, you know, like we would ask for shit and they'd be like, nah. But then you'd like go on nice holidays and stuff. But for them, she was just like a grafter. Yeah. You know, she had like businesses that she would like set up and then move on and And like now they're like, my dad's like an arty farty retired painter, you know.
Epic.
Yeah. He used to be an art and photography teacher for like 20 years in Barking, like an absolute shithole. And then my mum was the one that was like, you know, churning out the businesses. But yeah, I mean, I've never one sat there and gone, God, I've never seen real big money.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a couple of contracts that have come through and you're like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like that was my yearly earnings, you know, last year.
Yeah.
But I mean, they'll probably never listen to this. I worked with the guy who set the business up with Joe.
Yeah.
Let's change their names just for a laugh.
Yeah.
So I set the business up with the guy, Pete and Gary. and they were making, at one point they were making something like 500 grand a week.
Whoa.
Each. And it was like dun dun dun, like printing money for them. Whoa. It was insane. And I went to his house after the great divorce of whatever happened, and he lived in like a £3.2 million stately home in Cheshire, and was like had fucking gold rhinos, Demonte rhinos, like all around the gardens, like a heated pool, everything, right? Yeah. But because his money, I clocked his bank account. He had like 2.something million in his bank account. And I was like, whoa, that is mad.
Yeah.
Over the space of 8 months, that money gone. All went.
Yeah.
And he had no other income coming in. And it's like, you sit at that point of going like, what is rich and what is don't need to think about money ever again.
Yeah.
And it like depends on your lifestyle. My lifestyle is like so basic. Yeah. I like, look at my bank account. It's like, Brett. Five guys.
Yeah, that's the thing for me as well. It's like, it's how do you live with kind of way within your means so that you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
So that if shit hits the fan, you can go and sort it out if you need to.
Yeah. And I think that's the funny thing as well, is about when you start becoming like getting into business and you all of a sudden have to understand tax and how to like squirrel it away and do things. And I was like saying to my wife, I was like, you've got 50 grand in the bank account. And I was like, I could spend 40 grand of that living through the company, buying our food, going on holiday, you know, putting stuff money into a studio. Yeah, we're not earning the money or we haven't got it sitting in our bank account, but that is money that we would have been spending out of our own personal money to make these things happen.
Exactly.
So it's this weird switch where you're like, I'm just going to live through my company. And I still don't understand it fully. I keep buying like trousers and shoes and I'm like, can I get away with this?
In America, they're trying to only give you half of your food if you go out. So when you go out and like when you're touring and stuff, they're trying to like switch it so you can only claim half your food. And I'm like, I literally live. I don't live in a home. I can't cook.
And
it is fucking, but
I toured for 3 years with Rich, you can Google at a later date, doing a comedy show.
Did you?
And yeah.
So
and,
were you, are you a comedian?
No, I wasn't funny. the show was hilarious.
What was the show?
So it was, never talk about this. It was Puppetry of the Penis. So I did it for 3 years when I was 19. And it was hilarious. And yeah, I lived the lifestyle of, like, I thought I was a rock and roll musician.
Yeah.
So I was like, you'd finish the show at like 11 o'clock, go out, have some beers. Then you would like go for a takeaway because you can't cook in your hotel, and you'd wake up hungover, and then you go to the next town. But the same thing, I couldn't cook. I was like, yeah. What do you do? You just eat out the whole time.
It sucks. I really dislike eating out. I love eating food and I love going to restaurants, but there's like a level of eating out where you're just like, I can't eat out anymore. I need to cook something.
I know. It became this weird sort of like, and it was always a takeaway because I suppose the time you're finishing shows and stuff, it's like, what can you grab?
Yeah, I'm really strict with like how I do my diet, which I think there isn't a niche market. Yeah, it's actually a very niche market thinking about it, but it's like touring people and food, and like there's this like nutrition health thing that I kind of want to start, not me teaching people because I don't have a fucking clue, but like getting people to talk on. It's like, how can you still live a healthy life and tour and not be kind of at it all the time? Because it is brutal, like flying five times a week, eating at airports, and
they need to improve airplane food. That's the start.
Oh my god, it's so bad. We
used to fly to Milan a lot. That was like I'm not a jet setter, but we used to fly in and out of Milan. And like you'd get there and you'd be like, okay, let's eat before we get to the airport, because the offering in Malpensa is dog shit. Like they think the Italians can cook, and you've got like a birch and muesli bowl or a terrible panini.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
I was on a flight the other day back from South America, and they gave me the food and I literally just laughed. I was like, I can't eat this. Like the fact that you're putting this in humans' bodies is just disrespectful.
It's gross. It's bad, isn't it? I always remember like we flew to New York once for a wedding, and we booked it through BA. Like my missus had some points, we booked it through BA, and we're like, yeah, lovely. Went to go get on the plane, and it was like BA operated by American Airlines. And we got on the plane and we sat down and we were like, I was like, you're doing food? Yeah, food. It was like yogurt and like a squashed like sandwich in like an air press bag. I was like, oh God, 8 hours. 8 hours. I'm going to die.
American Airlines does the worst food.
Yeah.
And I fly with them all the time. I tell you what, the best food on an airplane is the BA chicken curry.
Yeah.
It's pretty banging. Like
I've only flown BA a few times, but
I get excited when they pull out the chicken curry, chicken tikka masala, classic.
We flew to Portugal and we went EasyJet, and we had the pizza.
Yeah.
And the picture of the pizza is like chips and pizza. It was literally a triangle pizza. And I was like, is that it? And I was like, my son was like, is there more? And I was like, mate, that's £8. That is £8.
They're making so much money from it as well.
Oh, it's bad.
So much
it's
money.
It's really bad.
Mate, let's wrap this up. Thank you so much for coming on. I've loved talking to you and I love watching your videos. How can people go and follow you? How can people get involved?
So my OnlyFans is Sweaty Sock.
Mate, I tell you what, you'd make some fucking money.
My channels are all Legom Chef.
One of my mates makes 50 grand a month.
Doing what?
OnlyFans.
But is this the girl?
It's somebody else.
Is it a boy?
Sweaty Socks.
It's you. It's my alter ego.
Mate, I would definitely do it if nobody knew it was me. YouTube studio.
Yeah, I recognize that floor.
Recognize that hairy toe. Sorry, how can people follow you?
It's Lagom, LAGOM, and then Chef, because I'm a chef. All on mainly on TikTok, Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but I don't do anything on there, so no point on there.
What does Lagom mean?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a Swedish word, so it basically means not too much, not too little, just right.
I love that.
It's a philosophy in life or in cooking or anything. It's beautiful.
It's actually weird you say that because I knew what it meant.
Yeah.
Because I was going to start like a fragrance brand.
Oh.
And that was going to be the name of it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not, because we can't, because some fucker else used it. And then mate, obviously use it.
Look on sense.
Yeah. But yeah, mate, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And let's actually catch up in real life at some point.
Yeah, so. You let me know when you're in London or Ibiza and I'll be there.
Sick. Come to both.
Yeah, nice.
Big love, mate. See you in a bit.
Right, mate. Take it easy. Bye.
And that is a wrap. Big love to Martin for coming on. Go follow him at Le Gomme Chef everywhere. Keep safe, everybody. Please share the episodes. Thank you for listening. It means the world. Big love.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.